world dominated by fear and mass manipulation of the media. Who can you trust? Just when you think there is no hope alive, you find out that there is an alternative news source to turn to. Revere Radio Network, keeping the dream of sovereignty and freedom alive for all. Revere Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in the following broadcast do not necessarily reflect the views of Revere Radio Network, Rob Revere, or any other host on the network. They are the personal thoughts and feelings of the host given the presentation. We support total free speech here at Revere Radio Network, even when it's ugly. Enjoy.
Hey, you're listening to Revere Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech. My name is Chris White, and this show is called Nowhere to Run. It's December 20th, 2006, and I'm happy to be here with you, as I am every week. Let's go ahead and start the show like we do every show, of me trying to mop up all the mess I made from the previous show and do our corrections, and we'll get right into the show. I got a lot of good information for you, and I can't wait to get started, so let's do this.
I just picked up a fault in the AE-35 unit.
It wasn't lies, it was just bullshit.
This sort of thing has cropped up before, and it has always been due to human error.
I wiped a booger on your shirt, I made a dog and a cat kiss, I swiped a bolted-down TV from a Holiday Inn, I coveted the wife in Jaws 2, I lied to a waiter, I masturbated 8 billion times, and I have no plans to stop masturbating in the future.
Woohoo! I'm clean! In your face, Lord!
Okay, I surprisingly don't have that many factual inaccuracies as I usually do, partially, if not mostly, because I did a lot of audio clips from other people on the last show. Chuck Missler, also a good lecture from a guy on the media, really good influential stuff, but it took a lot of time of the show up, and it didn't leave me many opportunities to mess it up, so... The only things I can really say is that, one, I use the word nefarious way too much. I think I just really plugged nefarious into my vocabulary pretty recently, and I've just been really happy about it, so I've just been overdoing it. But one of the other things is I say, you know, like, which is pretty much what, you know, a lot of people say. I did it again. See, I can't tell you guys what my problems are, because now you're just going to pick it out, and it's going to be horrible, and you're going to hate the show and everything else. Anyway, I don't have that many factual inaccuracies, but I probably do if you want to go through and check it out. You can always send your hate mail to me at chris@conspiracyclose.com. That's chris@conspiracyclose.com. It's a real secure server on my end, so you can tell me all the stuff you want to and give me all the hate mail you can give me. Okay, that's all the corrections for today. Let's get right into the show.
All through history, self-anointed seers have predicted the end of the world, and they've always been wrong.
But, sweetheart, I have something they didn't have. A good feeling about this.
Okay, on the first half of the show, I'm going to talk a lot about fluoride. If anybody knows me, they know that I've got some serious issues with fluoride. I've been putting together a lot of information in these packets that I'm going to present to my local city here to remove fluoride from the water. There's a lot of information out there about fluoride. It's really an open and shut case. It's really undebatable. If anybody is a proponent of it, they say the same things and they can be really just smoked. I mean, it's really undebatable. I particularly can smoke them. And I plan on it if they want to go that route. But recently I talked to the mayor. He sent me to the superintendent of utilities. I was just basically testing the waters at this point because I'm not quite finished with the packets. They're not quite ready. So I was just kind of seeing what kind of resistance I was going to be met with. And surprisingly, I was met with quite a bit of resistance. The head of our, the guy who is in charge of adding the fluoride, I don't know if that's exactly correct, but it... I was met with quite a bit of resistance from him. He wanted to have it out, and we had it out. I don't think that he was ready for somebody to be as knowledgeable about it, and I couldn't tell if he was just ignorant about it or he was a knowing participant in this. But if he was ignorant about it, he's no longer ignorant about it, and he was just really, you know, there was some amount of... fear there, I think. So I'm a little confused, but it just means it's going to be a little harder than I thought, and I got to work a little harder to get it done. I'm not really worried about it because it's a matter of educating the public. You know, it's such an open and shut case. The very stupidest person in the whole world would understand this with the evidence out there now that they would understand this is a ridiculous assumption to add this to our water. It's so ridiculous anybody can understand it, except apparently the guy who's adding it to our water. And I think that what I personally would do, and anybody should do if they're looking to do the same thing, is if you are going to be met with resistance from them, even after you've presented them with quality information in an effective way, the best thing to do is to go to the public. You could write out, like I've done, if you can go to conspiracyclothes.com and go to our reference section, which is what are the five reasons adding fluoride to the your water is a monumental mistake. I've been thinking about just doing something like that with taking out the conspiracy clothes bit and just having those reasons and putting them like little handbills on cars at the Walmart parking lot, that kind of thing. Or you could put flyers up on the poles of the town. That's a timeless way to get people's attention. And, you know, when they take away the internet and stuff, that's about all we're going to have. Because my town would gossip up in a storm in no time. But more importantly, you could find the particular news reporter or columnist at your newspaper and give them one of these packets and... that would really start helping educate the public. There's lots of ways to do it. If you can afford or get funding for a billboard that says just something like fluoride is making you stupid or something that encourages people, and then you put the website, fluoridealert.org is really the place to go. If you have any questions about this, the database of medical data and information in general about fluoride is through the freaking roof, fluoridealert.org. Now, the wheels of justice, here we are little greased for me. This happened 2 weeks ago, just a good stroke of luck on my end. A state representative, a Tennessee state representative named Joey Hensley, who is a medical doctor, sent out a letter to every water district in Tennessee and apparently to the mayor's office and such, because I talked to a mayor and he said he had received this letter and he sent the letter over to our water district guy. And this really helps. This is a letter that he wrote as a medical doctor and a state representative asking them to immediately halt putting fluoride in the water, citing how now federal health authorities admit that it is only topical. It only works in a topical way, that is to say, brushing your teeth, not swallowing it. And in fact, swallowing it, which means it goes through every single cell in your body. This toxic chemical, literally an industrial waste product of the Florida and Louisiana phosphate industry, goes through every single cell in your body on its way to your tooth enamel, where you could just brush your teeth if you wanted to and spit the damn fluoride out, you know, as opposed to having it stay in your bone marrow and in your pineal gland for the rest of your life. and among everything. It's so amazingly toxic, it's almost hard to believe. It's the most active substance known to man, that is to say, in a molecular way. This letter also goes on to say, let's see here, besides the topical thing, which is a big deal, it's like it doesn't work if you put it in the water, first of all. He goes on to talk about the ethics of it, which is fluoridation is medication added to water, as fluoride is the only substance the water districts add to water to treat a health condition in our bodies. This addition of medication to the water is done without first obtaining informed consent from citizens. Much of the rest of the world refuses to fluoridate water because of this issue alone. Fluoridation also assumes a one-size-fits-all approach, not taking into account variations of people's total dosage ingested or people's varying health status. Fluoride affects the thyroid, the kidneys, the bones and the joints, the nervous system, and the immune system. Giving an unmeasured amount of fluoride through the drinking water and not monitoring people's response to it makes no sense at all and violates fundamental principles of toxicology, pharmacology, and ethics. So, and it goes on to say that the National Research Council and the ADA now admit that you don't give it to fluoride to babies because they had to for legal reasons. People have to understand that this is a big deal. This is a big smoking gun because fluoride makes little kids retarded, and that is a big reason why the kids today are borderline retarded and retarded and have ADD and mental and neurological disorders is directly because of fluoride. And mostly, I mean, your water district will tell you, well, we're only adding one part per million and whatever, and that's enough to do it, but I mean, it doesn't go away without the use of a reverse osmosis filter. All the fluoride that they keep dumping in the water just keeps adding up because they're not removing any. It's there permanently, except for the little bit that gets absorbed into your body. Not to mention that any argument about, well, the amount in the water is only this and this, well, that means nothing because that a person can drink more water than another person. Well, what if I drink, 2 gallons of water a day? I mean, then what's my dosage of fluoride? What's my optimal amount, you know? Now every time, like along when I called this guy, and when you have proponents of fluoride, they always do the same thing. They cite, well, the National Research Council and the American Dental Association and the Tennessee Dental Association, like they're rattling off some long list of something, when you can always be like, well, the list ends there, and you're citing people that, if you look at the history of it, are directly in bed with the people that stood to gain the most here, the phosphate industry. The American Dental Association is a dentist trade group, and they're the only people that say it's good. Keep in mind, they will all fry and be prosecuted most likely if a word was ever breathed that they knew all along that it was dangerous and had all these risks associated with it, and the fact that they worked so hard to get fluoride in the water. Now, what's dangerous about this is that the studies coming out of China and a lot of neurological data states that the kids are getting borderline retarded from early ingestion of fluoride. Adults, it kind of just makes them slower, more apathetic, that type of thing. But the kids at their early stage of their mental development, it will make them retarded. So that's why it's really messed up to see that they are marketing this for kids, because there isn't any data saying that kids need it.
Well, they get a few things like, that it's in breast milk and stuff, and, that it's such a natural thing because it's in breast milk. Well, so is a whole lot of random-ass chemical, like, mineral things that aren't supposed to be there. It's just in there in these incredibly minute amounts, like the smallest little bit of fluoride is in breast milk, but nowhere near, like, one part per million what they put in our water.
This is all absolutely nefarious. There you go. All of Europe has banned it. 98% of Western Europe, to be exact, has banned the fluoridation of their water supply, citing ethics and medical concerns. Again, we only have a very few agencies that are saying that it's good here. And now they're having to admit that it doesn't work and don't give it to babies. And why the hell did we ever put a drug in the water? And now, I mean, even the benefits of it, the very same people that are saying it was good admit that it's only like in the teens effective percentage on preventing tooth decay. In fact, if you always read the back of your toothpaste, it says that it helps promote strong teeth. Not even anything. It just helps promote strong teeth. Well, that's a good enough reason to put it in our water.
Also, the back of your toothpaste says that if your child swallows more than a pea-sized amount, to call poison control. And, I mean, your toothpaste has somewhere in the neighborhood of like 1,000 parts per million of fluoride in it. This, you know, this just barely less toxic than arsenic. And is the sole ingredient in most rat poisons. And if you have, you know, some problem with your gums or something where you have, you know, like some way to get into your bloodstream and your gums, I mean, you're getting these, you know, huge doses of fluoride to your blood. Not to mention it's in beer, it's in juice, it's in anything. So if you're an athlete and you drink more water, then you get a higher dosage of a drug that the FDA, even though it's been in use for 50 years, has never approved for the consumption in like a consuming form, like fluoride supplements or anything that you ingest. And that's one of the reasons that doctor was so mad, that without testing everybody for individual allergies or individual reactions to a drug, then... You know, not to mention that it's not sodium fluoride, the drug that they usually test in the studies that's in the water. It's silico fluorides, which is a compound created by the process of the phosphate industry. So you get this compound of dirty silico fluoride scraped from a wet scrubber in these phosphate factories that used to go out to make the cows' bones, get them bone diseases and kill the crops. And now that compound is in our water, not sodium fluoride, silico fluorides. Although sodium fluoride is no angel either, at least when we're talking about eating it. Now, unlike silico fluorides that they ship out to put in our water, the sodium fluoride actually has a great many industrial uses. The atomic bomb, this is actually where a lot of the cover-ups came from, because while making the atomic bomb, they needed vast amounts of sodium fluoride. And a lot of the workers that were building the atomic bomb were coming down with all manners of different diseases, and there was going to be a lot of litigation if they didn't kind of fudge some documents that say that fluoride was safe and all this stuff in the work environment and all this stuff. So that's the very beginnings of a lot of the cover-ups and why they couldn't turn back from a lot of that. The players involved here are really interesting. There's a really good video about this out now on Google. Christopher Bryson, who does the Fluoride Alert, I think he's wrapped up in it, but Google, type in fluoride, Christopher Bryson, just go watch it. But that goes into a lot of the history of the players involved in the early history of how it all went down. It's really interesting. Okay, guys. I know I've got more to say about this. I mean, there's a lot to say, but I'll shut up for a minute. But I will give you my theory on this is how fluoride came to be. David Icke did a lot of research and to say that it came out of IG Farben, I think is the name of the chemical company in Germany, German chemical company, which kind of led me to think of this scenario. This is just hypothetical, but it makes more sense than anything else I've heard, because when you study the history of fluoride, it doesn't make any sense. There was never any data that said it was good for teeth. There was never any data that said it was healthy. It was like reverse engineering or something. You know, the first time fluoride was used was to shrink the thyroid, at least the first time it was used as a medical tool. It wasn't used, I mean, and so now it's shrinking thyroids. Well, for people with overactive thyroids, it was good to shrink their thyroid. But now, you know, with people with normal thyroids, it's not good to have underactive thyroids. Anyway, my theory is the reason it was so prevalent, it was because as a byproduct of making aluminum, and in Germany during the World War II, Hitler's regime was making a lot of aluminum because of the war machine. So naturally they had a lot of this chemical byproduct, the silica fluoride, sitting around in barrels. It only makes logical sense that he was like, is there a use for this chemical that we have a lot of? Can we find something that we could use this for? And, you know, they had the concentration camps going there too, although that was a conspiracy theory. Nobody really knew about it, but they did have them. And so they took this chemical and trying to find some use for it, took it to the concentration camps, dumped it in the water, and simply scientifically noted the effects, what happened. And they probably noticed at high levels that it was making people incredibly stupid, you know, turning them into vegetables and retarded. So they just backed off the dosage enough to where it would just slowly make them apathetic and dispel rebellion amongst them. And so they understood from the very beginning that high dosages would, kill them. And if you back that off, it would make them slightly retarded. And if you back that off, you could
it would make them stupider, but you could still see mottled teeth, which is an outward sign. Dental fluorosis, of 30-50% of all children in the United States have dental fluorosis now, and it's an outward sign of inner fluoride poisoning. And ask your dentist if he has any signs of dental fluorosis. He'll say, hell yeah, it's a big issue. It's a big profit generator too. So they noted that it was making people stupid at low dosages. So then it was like, oh, hey, we can dispel rebellion. And then they just set out to find if there was a possible benefit that they could sell people this to put it in their water of the rest of the world. And somebody was like, we need to get fluoride in all the world's water. We want everybody to be stupid because they've been attacking us on so many different levels on our neurological abilities. And so they looked and looked until they found, well, it's like, I guess you could say it kind of helps tooth enamel. And they were like, yeah, that's it. And then they hired this Edward Bernays, who is Sigmund Freud's nephew and the father of, like, all this Machiavellian, you know, advertising. Where's that quote from Edward Bernays? It's crazy. This guy, what did he say? Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. Now, this is coming from the guy charged with selling fluoride to the American public. And here he is creating these crazy propaganda ads that were sold to America during the 50s and 60s, telling them the greatest thing has ever happened. We've found fluoride. I mean, logically speaking, the only time you would ever put anything in anybody's water to if it promoted strong teeth and healthy teeth was if it was the most benign thing on the planet. If it was more benign than water itself, then you could make a case for being like, yeah, let's put it in our water. If there's nothing that could go wrong from it and it only does good things, then, well, then sure, let's put it in there. I mean, if there's nothing. But even from the very beginning, the very first use was to shrink the thyroid. I mean, and not to mention, you know, the kidneys, the immune system, the thyroid, the bones. I mean, it's causing bone cancer. A study just out of Harvard, you know, which you have to read about this. Wow, that study that came out of fluoride saying that it causes bone cancer in young boys was a big mess up on their part because they tried to cover that up from federal authorities, the fact that it was causing bone cancer. And now they've had to admit that, okay, not only did we fake the findings, but it does cause bone cancer. And that's a really big smoking gun, and that's going on right now. Again, check fluoridealert.org. And be sure you do fluoridealert.org and not .com. Here's how much the ADA actually cares about this. They bought fluoridealert.com, and that takes you directly to them saying how wonderful fluoride is, with all their 50-year-old data that didn't even make sense when it was produced. So it's really funny. So fluoridealert.org. Oh man, I'll tell you what. I can get off on this subject, but I'll try to calm down. And I got another topic or two for the second half. So if you're tired of fluoride talk, don't worry. I'll quit right after this song from the Beach Boys right here, and I'll see you on the other side.
Don't go near the water. Don't you think it's sad? What's happened to the water? Our water's going bad. Oceans, rivers, lakes, and streams have all been touched by man. Say, what's happened? message of this song. Let's all help the water right away. Do what we can in order. Let's start today.
Revere Radio Network, Tampa, the worldwide home of free speech.
The Loft has played over 600 shows in 6 years and continues to independently support their constant touring. If you miss music and you love rock and roll, then wake up to The Loft. Loft is currently touring America, so check their official website, lovetheloft.com, or their MySpace page, myspace.com/theloft, to see if they're playing in a city near you. Support local and independent music, The Loft. Real people, real rock and roll.
Total free speech, even when it's ugly. Revere Radio Network, Tampa.
Yo, yo! They fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there.
G.I. Joe, American hero. G.I. Joe is there.
G.I. Joe against Cobra and Destro, fighting to save the day. He never gives up, he's always there, fighting for freedom over land and air.
G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe's there.
G.I. Joe is the code name for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose, to defend human freedom against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world.
He never gives up. He'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare.
G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe.
Now you see that evil will always triumph because good is dumb.
Well, you know all the guys upstairs are into Satanism as well, don't you, Tom?
Oh, my God.
Tom, why don't you join us at the country club this weekend?
The country club?
Yeah, we're going to play a quick 9 holes of golf, and then we're going to sacrifice Jenkins.
Have you ever stood and stared at it, marveled at its beauty, its genius? Billions of people just living out their lives, oblivious.
Okay, that was some G.I. Joe for you at the end of that. That song sounds a little different than it did when I was a kid. It just seems a little more cheesy now, but I guess that's what it was. And before we get started, I just want to clear up. Because of ConspiracyClothes.com, I have a shirt on fluoride there. It says, "The government is trying to kill me" on the front of it, and on the back it has the 5 reasons adding fluoride to the water is a monumental mistake. I get a lot of emails about that shirt saying, well, I guess I just won't drink water anymore because it's, if it's got fluoride in it. That is not the point. The point is, water is the best thing for your body. There is no substitute for, as far as your body is concerned, for water. No juice, no Coke, no nothing is a substitute for water. Your body absolutely requires water to function, and it won't operate correctly if you don't give it the proper amounts of clean water. Buy spring water, or get a Berkey water filter, or get a PF2 element on that and get the fluoride out of there in addition to it. But yes, please drink water all the time. Go to I don't know if it's still it's been years since I've been to this site, but watercure.com. I don't remember if it's still there, but it used to go through a lot of the reasons to drink a lot of water. You know, it's like a lot of things nowadays. The way we eat and the way we drink is causing so many problems. All these new diseases that are popping up are because of it in a lot of cases. One comes to mind, Crohn's disease. If you know anybody that has this, it's a deadly disease that will kill you. It's the worst way to go out too. It's so debilitating. It makes people just give up on life, and it's so awful. And the doctor will tell you, well, we don't know where it comes from, and we don't have a cure, and there's nothing we can do, so just deal with it. And they give you these drugs that haven't been tested and make you feel horrible and all this other stuff. Now Crohn's disease is basically, from what I understand in the research that I've done, and some people are genetically disposed to not be able to handle the crap that we eat and the lack of certain things that we there's a book called The Maker's Diet. It is an invaluable tool if you have Crohn's disease, if you don't have Crohn's disease. In fact, if you know somebody with Crohn's disease, there's another book by the same gentleman called Patient Heal Thyself. And basically it goes through a diet, in addition to, because if you have Crohn's disease, you will need to rebuild a lot of it. So that requires a lot of supplements and stuff. I know somebody that has been doing this and is getting better. And also the author of the book is a medically documented case of a guy, going into remission and curing himself of Crohn's disease, this supposedly incurable disease. So there is hope for people that have it, and it's really important that they hear about this. Patient, heal thyself, or the Maker's Diet. You know, it's like people are, just take Cokes and stuff. You know, people are drinking all these sodas and whatever instead of water, and they don't think anything of it on the premise that, oh, well, this guy, you know, the people around you, they drink Cokes all the time. This is what everybody does now. Well, you know, everybody's doing it. Well, it's true that everybody's doing it, but it's also true that we haven't tested what happens if everybody does it. It's only been very recently that everybody started doing it. And now the numbers are showing that virtually every person in America has diabetes. And that all sounds like fun and games. Like, oh, I'll get diabetes, it's no big deal. Until you have diabetes and you're like having to get insulin and your circulation's not working in your legs and you have all these problems that you're actually going to have to go deal with the doctor. And a lot of it's really uncomfortable and bad, you know, just because everybody was doing it, you know. There's so much stuff like that out there. And I guess this would be a good time to point out my total hypocrisy, because I drink Cokes all the time. I try not to, you know, and I even drink, I mostly drink spring water and put spring water in my coffee and all that stuff. But occasionally, you know, I'm on the road, I don't, you know, it's not like, you know, I mean, it's in everything. So I drink fluoride and I drink Cokes and I'm a total hypocrite, I guess. Some of it, just to get off on the Crohn's disease thing for a second, one of the main theses of the problems with Crohn's disease is that we got so used to sterilizing everything and making sure that there wasn't any dirt and on any fruits and vegetables and all this stuff, and we sterilized all this stuff when in fact we needed some of these organisms that live in the soil were actually a beneficial part of the flora and fauna of your intestinal system, and we've eliminated that organism. And different things like chlorine in your water further eliminates it, because if you take hot showers, you are then chlorine shifts from a gas to a liquid during the course of your shower, and you're breathing in chlorine, and you're sterilizing a lot of this. You know, because people used to pull a carrot out from the ground, you know, maybe wash it a little bit and eat it. You know, we used to get them naturally just from eating naturally. It's so hard to imagine, you know, that we have gone so far so quickly from the way we used to eat. It's only been 100 years in the course of human history. 100 years is just a drop in the bucket time-wise. And then all of a sudden we've just done everything completely the opposite of what we did for 6,000 years before that, you know? We're starting to see what happens if you do that. And the doctors obviously aren't going to tell you that. Because why? Because their journals don't say it. Why don't their journals say it? Is because the drug companies own the journals. And that's been proven here in recent days
by some of the litigation that came out with the antidepressant stuff. And also because they've been funding all the research projects. So they've been through grants, like controlling everything. Or probably more accurately, through the threat of no grants.
There is no hope if the drug companies continue to have a monopoly over the information that your doctors have.
Some really good advice would be to really evaluate what drugs you're taking and why, and if any drug reps have had anything to do with your doctor deciding to prescribe you with them.
Your body is telling you a lot of times that this isn't what you want to do, and the doctors aren't testing to see if you can handle it or have, you know, I'm not going to go off on that. But the medical community in general, and that's why the dentists don't know about fluoride, and that's why the doctors don't know about aspartame and a great many other things. Okay, so moving on. I wanted to defend Alex Jones here for a second. I subscribe to the prisonplanet.tv, which is a site that he puts a lot of the media on, videos, documentaries from his stuff, documentaries from other people's, a lot of audio stuff. I've been downloading it to my MP3, so when I'm on the road, I can listen to all this stuff and just have it real easy. And I've been listening to a lot of it, and I freaking love Alex Jones. I know people hate Alex Jones, and they have, you know, valid reasons for getting upset with him. But quick defense of him, I know I've done this previously, but just to be a little more clear, Alex Jones is a dork. He is just straight up a dork. He doesn't have any sense of humor, and I mean that so seriously. I don't even think he has the capacity to understand funny things. I don't think that his brain even works that way. And that's because his brain is so focused like a laser beam on the other end. It just doesn't work. It's like Einstein, you know, could do math but didn't have that much luck in the, you know, putting on his pants properly department. You know, it's like creating a player on a video game. You know, when you used to create players, you probably still do. I don't play video games that much anymore, but you know, you could give them a certain attribute, but it would take away from your other attributes. You can either give them a whole lot of this, but they would be like really shitty at catching the ball, but they could be really fast or whatever. You know, so that's kind of what I feel like has happened to him. But at the same time, I mean, he is so brave. I mean, nobody that criticizes him even comes close to him and is just out and out balls. I mean, the guy is the ballsiest guy I've ever heard in my entire life. I mean, he's so courageous in the face of these people. He genuinely hates them, you know? You could tell it, you know? But he's a crazy person, too. But it's you needed a crazy person to do some of the stuff he does. But he's a nut. I mean, imagine, if you will, them taking Alex Jones and torturing him. I mean, he'd just be spitting in their face, you slamming sack of New World Order scum, you slamming, you know, just spitting in their face, like, you know, the whole way down. He wouldn't, you know, you could just see him, you know, not taking it. It's like, oh, you know, whatever. But also, I mean, they have to, if the New World Order, as it were, has to protect Alex Jones, like he was made out of thin glass, because if anything ever happens to Alex Jones, his message will spread like wildfire all across the world. It would just circumvent the globe in no time, because there's so much media out there. They'd have to shut down the internet. They'd have to shut down with all the actual hard copies of Terror Storm everywhere. He would be the martyr to end all martyrs. It would be the end of them. If anything ever happens to Alex Jones, it's become too big. And they probably got somebody following him just to make sure nobody does anything to him. That's just a little quick thing about Jonesy there. What else do I got? You know, I guess I'll get right into this. First, I was going to talk some about the reasons for current wars. When I talk a lot about this with people and convince them that, you know, the world is not what they think or whatever, the question inevitably rises up is, what are we in Iraq for? What are we doing in Afghanistan? Why did we do this? Why did we do that? And, you know, it's so multifaceted that it's hard to give one answer. A lot of times people want to say oil and money, and that's all fine and good, but it doesn't really get to the heart of the issue. And here is just some stuff that you can have to say to somebody when they ask you, what are we doing this for? I get a lot of sub-theories in addition. I'll try to add to it. First thing you have to understand is that the international banking community, the International Monetary Fund, is the mother, but you have your different Federal Reserve-type central banks in all the different countries. We think not much of it because we've had it for so long. The IRS is a collection agency for the Federal Reserve. The government borrows money, and the IRS basically collects money from us to pay the interest to the Federal Reserve, a private bank owned for private profit. So these central banks, the only places that they don't control, and by control, they own. I mean, they own by default and debt. They own everything. Eventually, they will call the debt. But they own everything. They own the world except for a few places. And those places that they don't own, they have a tricky situation. The reason is, and we call them rogue states, like Afghanistan, Iraq. Well, now Afghanistan is as of 2002, has a central bank owned by the international bankers, and so does Iraq as of 2004, I believe, is now part of the plan now. But, Iran and Syria and, the Kosovo, you know, used to be in Bosnia and stuff like that. We're just not playing the game. A lot of times, the Muslim people had an innate rule that made them reject international bankers. That's because they had a law that said that they were not to charge interest. And that, of course, is a big problem for the central bankers who want to own them by their carbon copy process of going in and being a country's central bank and owning them through interest rates after they borrow a lot of money. Anyhow, here's some real reasons why we went to some of these places. Afghanistan, first, I guess the story of this particular situation starts in Kosovo. Kosovo, we had to assure a pipeline route from the Caspian oil fields, this extremely rich oil field, to the western saltwater ports where we could have access to all of it. It was very, very important that we do that. Now, in Afghanistan, although I'll go into some other reasons, with the pipeline, the Taliban, I think we were in negotiations with this pipeline, getting it, getting the gas and oil pipelines to China and also through the Caspian Sea to a southern route. This 48-inch gas pipeline. Now, the Taliban broke those communications down, and they said that they weren't going to let us do it. So what do we do? We go in there and destroy the Taliban and build the pipeline. Now, here's some little multi-tiered thing, too. And it, the CIA, as most of the people associated with the Rear Radio Network, and if you don't, you can look it up. There are so many smoking guns on this, it's ridiculous. The CIA is the largest drug dealer in the world. I mean, they've all been, but just been called out in the major news networks. I mean, that's the only thing that hasn't happened is that 60 Minutes hasn't done a story on it. But the CIA is the largest drug dealer in the world. And By gaining control of Afghanistan, they also gained control of the opium fields. At that time, Afghanistan produced 70% of the opium of the world, and now it probably produces more because we probably brought some of our green-thumbed CIA folks over there or hired or whatever we did. But so now we control all the world's heroin and all that. But again, multi-tiered, it was mainly to establish the central bank, so any oil or opium or anything sold at all, you know, it could all be owned by the central bankers. And of course that happened with Iraq too. The central bank moved in and we democratized them, quote unquote, which always usually means we got the central bank in there. The central bank has destroyed the entire world, and reduced them to poverty, squeezed them for what they're worth, and the places that they don't even have to fake it anymore. They squeeze these people for labor, and pay them nothing. And that's the reason that they're able to really maximize the profit. you know, it's a long story with economy and stuff and how all that works, and I'm not all too quick on it. But in Iraq, then we moved into Iraq. Again, central bank. This was to control the oil supplies. At that time, the second largest supplier of oil. There's a lot of really weird stuff that happened with that. I'm not an expert or even claim to be that knowledgeable about what Saddam was doing with allowing euro to buy oil, because we had a really big monopoly on everything because all oil had to be backed by dollars, but now it doesn't, or something like that. I have to do some research on that. But anyway, we now control the second largest supply of oil. Also, we needed to protect Israel. If you you may know that Iraq wasn't really a threat to us per se, but it definitely was a threat to Israel, as far as it was Saddam, I believe, was paying suicide bombers and whatever. All the, at least is what it says in the news media, our news media. I don't believe anything here anymore, but it definitely was a threat to Israel. And if you look at a map, I mean, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, it all makes a whole lot of sense, militarily, geographically speaking. I mean, it would just be how you would do it. Also, Iraq right now in this 1984-style perpetuating of war, to get everybody's minds off of the fact that we are devaluing the currency at a miraculous rate. I mean, paper money isn't worth anything, and you know, the economy's going shitty, but nobody would ever think that the economy's going bad until they start talking about a recession in the media. Oh, then we have it. But until they breathe a word about it in the news media, then they could, you know, tell us anything, I think, at this point, because we stopped thinking for ourselves a long time ago, and I don't know why. I can't see why people don't see this as an epidemic of apathy. I honestly think it is probably some combination of drugging and possibly some electromagnetic stuff. I think they're hitting us from a lot of different ways, but I can clearly see this epidemic of apathy. And so so this perpetuation of war really does keep our minds off that, and also keeps our minds off the North American Union being formed. Because keep in mind, the North American Union is being reported, I mean, the prosperity and security, what, how do they say that? Security and prosperity and security partnership. Ah, hell, I can't remember. But that's pretty important. I should remember that. Anyway, the Canadian press reports it. They don't like it, but ask a Canadian if their press is reporting it on the North American Union. They'll be like, yeah. And the Mexican press reports it, and they like it. Our press doesn't report it, and we just think it's a conspiracy when anybody talks about it. It's like, oh, they're going to have a North American Union on. They're going to call it the Amero instead of the Euro. This is a big, big situation, people. People. Come on, people. All right. I'm going to take a break, and we'll come back and finish up the broadcast. I'm going to play some Stevie Wonder for you, and I'll be right back. So stay tuned.
We are amazed, but not amazed. misled. Who knows a person's mind can turn as cold as ice. Why do you keep on making us hear your song, telling us how you're doing right from wrong? Cause if you really wanna hear our views, you haven't done nothing. Yeah, nothing. Check the box and won't get sick. Doo-doo-wop, doo-doo-wop, oh, doo-doo-wop, won't come, doo-doo-wop, ding-a-ding-a, doo-doo-wop, ba-dum-ba-dum, doo-doo-wop, ba-dum-ba-dum, doo-doo-wop, ba-dum-ba-dum, sing it loud for your people, say doo-doo-wop, ba-dum-ba-dum, doo-doo-wop, and I be calm and say doo-doo-wop, go-go-go-dum, doo-doo-wop, oh, doo-doo-wop, ba-dum-ba-dum, doo-doo-wop, doo-doo-wop, it's there.
This is a public service announcement.
Baylon.com is your number one site on the internet to keep you informed and up to date in this information war. With us losing more and more civil liberties each and every day, Baylon.com is a great tool to have so you can stay informed and learn how you can help topple big government. Simply go to www.phaylon.com. www.phaylon.com. You get 24/7 access to all media, your very own live stream free with your subscription, 300 plus educational videos, fast forward and rewind, pause to watch later, live news channels, all available when you subscribe to phaylon.com for just 19 cents a day. That's 19 cents a day. phaylon.com. You hate big government, so do we. phaylon.com.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revere Radio Network. Remember, Revere Radio Network is listener-sponsored radio. Now, it's not all about the Benjamins, but believe me, that shit helps.
I think you're all fucked in the head. We're 10 hours from the fucking fun park and you want to bail out. Well, I'll tell you something. This is no longer a vacation. It's a quest. It's a quest for fun. I'm going to have fun and you're going to have fun. We're all going to have so much fucking fun we'll need plastic surgery to remove our goddamn smiles. You'll be whistling Symphony Doodah out of your assholes. I got to be crazy. I'm on a pilgrimage to see a moose. Praise Marty Moose. Holy shit!
I have an excellent idea. Let's change the subject.
Okay, welcome back to the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech. You are listening to Nowhere to Run with Chris White. A few things before we get right back into it. I just want to thank Rob Revere and the Revere Radio Network for everything that they do and waking everybody up. It's such a unique and amazing thing. I really appreciate the whole situation. If you have any extra dollars to donate to it, it is listener sponsored. So 5, 10, 20 bucks, all counts. And you can go to revereradio.net and donate there. Also, they have a lot of media on the site too. If you're listening to this broadcast anywhere except for revereradio.net, go there. They have 20 DJs doing the same thing I'm doing and are all on the virtually the same kind of situation, this alternate reality that we're all in together, regardless of the little disagreements and semantics that we may have. You know, we're all in the same boat and we're all going to be in the same concentration camps, you know, if we don't aren't able to stop this situation. And, you know, just from, you know, you listen to a lot of this stuff and it's hard to imagine, I know, but they're building concentration camps on Amtrak rail lines, prisons, like they're going out of style. I mean, there is about to be, you know, after this new martial law is declared, they're going to just tuck everybody that's even close to a
dissenting into prisons. Half of America can be, you know, imprisoned. Brings new meaning to that website, prisonplanet.com and prisonplanet.tv and all that. I mean, we're talking about that. That's a good and effective means of neutralizing people, is just putting them in prisons, in addition to the concentration camps, these FEMA camps that they have. Talk about willpower. Everybody should practice their willpower, just practice turning things down and practice this and that, because, you know, there's going to be 1984 George Orwell, if you remember the end of that book, when they were torturing him to basically get him to just renounce things and to just say that he believed it. And that book was kind of dark in the fact that it didn't end well. I mean, it ended with him conforming, because, as it says in the book, no man is stronger than physical pain. And in the face of physical pain, there can be no heroes. That was, in a sense, the theme of the book, that the torture that Orwell not only envisioned, but knew very clearly what the process was. And I think that you can look at the history of Orwell and see that he died after kind of letting that cat out of the bag. And if you look at the way that he described the torture in that, which was sensory deprivation, not letting them let him know what time of day it was, always the constant threat of room 101 and the specific types of torture and the specific different things. He knew what the hell he was talking about. This is textbook kind of stuff. And at that time, when it was written, the 30s, something like that, 38, something like that, I don't remember. But, you know, I have to believe that that's not true, that you have to be stronger than the physical pain that they're going to be torturing people with, because that's where we're going. I mean, you're either going to get chipped, you're going to get imprisoned, or you're going to be on the run. And that's going to happen really, really soon. It all seems like fun and games until this shit hits the fan, because that's where it's going when it does hit. And it may take a few years before it becomes overt control and in your face, you know, evil. But everybody sees it happening, even if they're kind of just talking about it and going along with their life. Yeah, everybody's into Satanism that's running the world. That's kind of weird how that all works. Well, they're getting their information from, you know, the devil. I mean, the devil has been imparting information to the top of the pyramid, and I mean the very tip top of the pyramid is getting their information from an extremely powerful evil source that has a plan. I mean, some of these plans seem so meticulous and very well thought up, and such an ingenious plan to do a lot of this stuff and to set up these things over the course of time in order to have this, what I call, Jesus bid. I mean, the Antichrist is going to be the devil's version of Jesus, and he's going to, through deception, claim that this guy is in certain bloodlines and whatnot. That was why a lot of the Da Vinci Code received so much funding and everything, because it got, and even though it was debunked very thoroughly by a lot of the people that came out with a lot of the videos, like the Da Vinci Code cracked and the Da Vinci Code debunked, and even though it was debunked thoroughly and that the Council of Nicaea didn't decide on the divinity of Christ anymore than I did, it did its damage. Now the public mind, who never really paid attention to these people, all the people making money off the debunking of it, because it was so easy to do, they didn't pay attention to that. All the general public knows, because so much money was pumped into this book and this movie, that they just think that Jesus had a bloodline and that some of these seeds were planted that are going to pave the way, honestly, for the Antichrist. See, This Antichrist is at one point in his career, after what I believe will be a head wound that he survives miraculously, at some point around there, the devil himself is going to kind of, there's going to be a lot of demons that have been bound for a long time that are going to receive different keys to certain things and to be allowed to do certain things. And the devil's going to embody this man and force everybody to worship him as God. That's the plan. That's the reason for this season. That's the reason why all this is happening. And it seems like an elaborate situation to just come down to forcing the people of the world to worship him. But that's where it's going. And this mark of the beast that was talked about in the book of Revelations, and you know, it says that the person who receives the mark of the beast in the right hand or forehead cannot buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast. But also, God makes it very clear that once you get this mark of the beast, it's going to be the end for you. It's almost like, it reads like God's like, you know, it kind of like his hands are tied at that point. Whatever's in this chip, whatever it is, because you do have to pledge allegiance to this Antichrist or this the beast itself to when you get it. You know, after you get that, it may be impossible for you to come back, because it definitely reads like you either get that or not. You know, it's not a gray area.
We were doing so good. We had such a good show going before I went off and preached a little bit.
Okay. All right. Everybody can send their hate mail to chris@conspiracyclothes.com. That's chris@conspiracyclothes.com. It's a very secure server on my end. You can tell me all you want to tell me, and tell me what to correct. I'm sure I got some stuff wrong, and just let me have it. So that's about it for me, and I'll see you next week, and I guess it'll be Christmas before I see you again. So Merry Christmas to everybody, and I'll see you next week. Later. Just a boy right through.